Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we're your hosts. Thank you for joining us.
If you enjoyed today's program and you feel called to help us equip the church to provide mental health care and to help those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. Hey, there you're going to find a little bit more about the impact we're having in local communities to strengthen families and individuals. We're on a mission to help equip people everywhere to improve their relationship with God and the ones they love.
We'd love for you to be a part of our family. Let's bring a message of hope and encouragement to today's generations. Your gift ensures that this program and your station remain on the air.
Hey, on today's program, my son, Dr. Zach Clinton, he's joined by a great guest. Let's get started.
Today, I'm joined by licensed professional counselor, Chris Allison. Chris has experience working with people of all ages and is passionate about helping others heal from what's often called church hurt. But what exactly is church hurt? Today, we'll be talking about the realities of what it means to walk away from your faith or maybe your church community and how painful that can be when the place meant to feel like home becomes a source of hurt. Maybe you felt unwelcome, misunderstood, or even betrayed by a church leader or group. That kind of experience can be deeply traumatizing for someone simply looking for a safe spiritual haven. We know trauma impacts both individuals and families, and the journey toward restoration begins with understanding, forgiveness, healthy boundaries, and trauma-informed care. Chris is going to provide a clinical perspective on this and share insights from his work with clients. He also enjoys working with neurodivergent children and their families, often using creative play interventions to foster connection and growth. When he's not in the counseling office, you'll find him spending time with his wife and their energetic boys as they make their home in Ohio. Chris is also the brother of my brother-in-law, our AACC CEO, Ben Allison, so he is legitimately a part of the family, someone that I've known, respected, and appreciated for countless years. Chris, my friend, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me here. I really appreciate it.
Man, you guys are back in town. The Berg is home. I know your story, Chris. Yeah. I know your background, obviously, having known Ben since I was nine, knowing you since I was nine, I guess. I'd love for you, though, just to take some time, help our audience get to know you a little bit better. Tell us about your upbringing. Tell us about what really called you into this counseling space.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, oh man, that's such a journey. Like, okay, so I grew up in Lynchburg here, right? Born here, raised here. I kind of joke with people saying I feel like I spent more time on Liberty's campus as a kid than I did at like my own house.
I hear that.
My dad was teaching there from like almost the beginning. Yeah. And so it's like one of those things where, you know, like some people, you're at home. I was at school. And so it's just one of those things where I loved my time here. But I also, there's times where I just kind of felt like I didn't feel like I was staying here, right? At least, like, I don't know what the future entails. I don't know what God's plans are for, like, way down the road. But there was just a point where I always kind of had this feeling. It's like, I'm not going to stay here forever, right? Mm-hmm. But I just always try to take the time to figure out, okay, what am I doing next? Like, what is God's plan for me next? Mm-hmm. And so I graduated high school. I graduated locally from here. I went to Liberty, and at college is where I met my wife, Rachel. And it's one of those things where we got married, we lived here, we started a family here, and we both graduated with our undergraduate degrees from Liberty. And it's one of those things where I was working there, and we're trying to sit there, and we're like, what do we do from here, right? Like, where do we go? What do we do? And it's like, we figured, like, we should get our master's, but what do we do it with? And we talked about different things. We looked at different stuff. And one day, I remember we did a lot of trips between here and Ohio, right, to go visit her family for holidays, for things like that. I remember there was one time where we were just really trying to figure this out. Mm-hmm. And we literally, like, got the conversation started when we, like, were pulling out of Lynchburg. And we talked about this the entire way. Like, it's, like, wow. A, like, 7-hour drive from my house to, like, her parents' house. And we talked about this the entire time. And it was just a really wonderful experience to see where it's like we both came to this idea of counseling for different reasons altogether, right? She always talked about like her passion for wanting to work with people and work with horses, doing equine therapy. And I had just seen with different experiences, working with different people, different backgrounds, just the pain that can sometimes happen with the church. Mm-hmm. The church can be such a wonderful thing. The church can be a great community, can be one of the best supports that we can have in our lives. But I've also seen a lot of hurt that comes from that. Mm. And that was something that I really felt passionate about, where I was like, I want to work with this. I feel like this is something I don't see a lot of stuff being done with. Yeah. And so we both pursued counseling from different sides of this. And it was like, I wanted to be able to do this. I wanted to be able to kind of work into this. And counseling just felt the right way to kind of work with this, right?
Yeah.
And so going into counseling, doing our master's, and then it was one of those things where we're like, okay, well, so yeah, where do we go, right? She graduated with her master's before I did. Mm-hmm. And so at that point, we're kind of looking at, okay, what's going to be home base now? And we looked at, what are our interests? What are our fields we want to pursue? And that's where we discovered Spring Haven, where we're at right now. And it just felt like very much this like God thing where it's like, hey, here's a place where you can do equine therapy and you get to work with the Amish community. Yeah. And a lot. And so that just felt like this kind of like light bulb moment. It's like, yeah, this is where we're supposed to go. This is what we're supposed to do. So we moved, we went up to Ohio, and like, it was funny because we actually felt so passionate and so called to the area that we actually had moved before she officially got hired.
Wow.
And we just really felt like that's the area we're supposed to be in.
Yeah, you had the faith.
And so we moved up there. She interviewed. She got hired. And it's just been amazing ever since.
That's awesome to hear. And I know just hearing more of your story and your background and your upbringing, obviously I know you come from incredible parents, David and Connie. They are fantastic. Doc is what I call your dad. But I'm blessed to know you guys, blessed to have been raised alongside of you guys, and then just watching what God is continuing to do and through your life, Chris, and your leadership and the impact that you're having up there in Ohio, like you said, with Spring Haven. And I kind of want to touch on that for a moment because I don't know, obviously you felt called there, and now working with that Amish community, and you talked about like church hurt within the Anabaptist church. I know there's a lot of hurt, and there's a lot of good, right, that can come from it. Again, we talk all about just the simplicity and the beauty of the Amish lifestyle, but there also can be a lot of hurt. And so I'd love to hear just up front, as we're scratching the surface, as you're working with that particular population group, what are some of the things that maybe God has revealed to you, and how have you been stretched during the season?
Absolutely. It's been such a growing experience because of the, and I feel like anyone who works with another culture, right, is going to get this idea. It's like, oh yeah, no, like we don't speak the same language, right? And I work a lot with kids, and that's growing in itself, because when you're working with Amish kids, like one, they only educate through eighth grade. Hmm. Like they're very, very smart people.
Right.
But they only do schooling through eighth grade. Hmm. And even in like their earlier grades, when you're talking like younger elementary, when you're working like 5, 6, 7 years old, they don't speak a lot of English.
Yeah.
If you're talking 6 years old and under, there's a good chance they don't speak any.
Wow.
And so it's like, you're doing a lot of translation work with their parents a lot of times, where it's like you sit there and you ask a question, the parents kind of look over and they talk to the kid, and the kid kind of talks back to them. Yeah. And so it's so unique trying to build that, or kind of bridge that barrier between the different cultures, but also learning about that culture, right? Like being able to work with them, learn about them. And there's such a diversity within the group too, where it's like knowing, it's like, yeah, not all of them are the same. Not all of them are going to have the same rules. Not all of them are going to have the same lifestyles as each other. So I can't, just as I would with anybody else, I can't just look at one Amish individual and say, oh yeah, everything that I know about all these other people applies to you too, right? I have to see them as an individual.
It's being able, like you said, to attune yourself to the uniqueness of the individual sitting across from you. But at the same time, when it comes to the multicultural aspects, being able to educate yourself and having the humility to say, I don't have all the answers, right? I may not know everything that you go through on a daily basis. I can't really put words into understanding of what you might be going through specifically, but it's that journeying alongside of, like you said, having the humility and the cultural competency to be able to continue to work with different people groups. Mm-hmm. You know, as we talk about church hurt, Chris, and just continue to unpack this idea, something that I want to touch on up front is it comes in all different shapes and sizes. Mm-hmm. You know, it can be some small things as being maybe misunderstood that feels really big, all the way to the point of abuse and betrayal within the church. So much can happen. I'd love for you just up front, how would you maybe define or begin to process, like, what does it really mean to maybe be church hurt? We hear that thrown around a lot.
Yeah, to be church hurt, sometimes I'll refer to it as church hurt. Sometimes I'll use more the term of religious trauma, right? And that was kind of the mindset that I looked at a lot, was this idea of it shows up in all kinds of ways, right? Like you can see people, like you hear the stories where it's like, well, I walked into a church and no one shook my hand. And so I felt very like outcasted. Yeah. Or it's like, well, I couldn't find a group to get plugged into And so I felt like I was just lost in the numbers, right? Or I walked in and I was wearing, I wasn't dressed in the same way, right? So you can get some of those types of aspects. But you also see it in like the really, in my mind, like a lot of the really deep wounds where it's like, again, the church is supposed to be one body. The church is supposed to be this family.
Yeah.
And we should always, we always feel like family's supposed to be there, right? They're supposed to be the ones who are always there. Even if like everyone else falls away, my family's supposed to be there.
Yeah.
And the church is supposed to like have the love of Christ. They're supposed to like emanate the love of God into like everybody, right? And so when the people who are supposed to be this like pillar in my life that's always supposed to be there, when something happens that makes me feel like that pillar was knocked down or ripped out from underneath me, it can really just rattle my world. And so it's like, I don't, and that's where it's like, I use the word like religious trauma, because it's like sometimes it's just that trauma of like, I don't know who to trust. I don't know like what is, like it feels like what is reality right now? Like what is, who can I trust? Who can I help with when the people I thought are supposed to be there aren't there,
yeah.
right? And I always clarify too, it's like when we're looking at this, when we're working with, whether it's Amish or English, or whatever, whoever you're working with, when they come into the room, we have to remember like they're coming in because they're hurt.
Mm.
And a lot of times they're coming in because it's a very, usually it's a more extreme situation, right? And so we always have to kind of have that same mindset of reminding ourselves that, again, like sometimes, like that's one of the things I love about working with like the Amish as well, is because like you hear some horrible, horrible things.
Yeah.
But you also know that as a culture, it's such a small percentage too, right? Mm. In the same way that we would look at things that maybe like people would bring up stories about like some churches that are more extremist and things that they may do. And sit there and say, well, if that's what Christians are like, then I don't want it. And it's like, no, like that's not what they're like. That's not what they're all like. That's a small population.
Yeah.
Don't judge the rest of us based off of that, right? Mm-hmm. We'd want to say the same thing. It's like, yeah, I can't look at the entire population and say, oh, wow, they're all like this, or this happens in every family.
Right.
And it's like, no, it doesn't. But this is one small family that is really hurting.
Yeah.
And so it's been such a hard but rewarding experience to sit there and that's where a lot of times I look at the idea of like what we do as therapy, right?
That's right.
And the idea of like a lot of times I compare it to physical therapy.
Mm.
It's not easy. It's hard. There's times where honestly, like I had a stint a couple years ago where I went to do some physical therapy for my knees and I hated it.
It's really
hard. I hated every bit of it. Yeah. It was one of those things where it's like I went in there and it was one of those things where they're like, oh yeah, you're going to come in 3 days a week at like 7 a.m. You're going to be here for an hour. Mm-hmm. And then also here's a packet of papers that you need to do every single day, twice a day. And it's like an hour and a half extra exercises. And I'm sitting there going like, you know, it'd be really nice like for my knees if they gave me a bunch of arm exercises.
Right.
But that's not what they're doing. That's not, no, they're going to say, no, we're going to give you, you're going to be doing squats. You're going to use bands. You're going to be stretching. You're going to be doing all these things. You're going
to
be,
pain.
Yeah, you have to attack it directly.
Yeah.
And it's going to hurt, but because we attack it directly, it's going to come out stronger.
Mm.
And that's what they reminded. Like, we're not just going to get your knees to where they were. We're going to get them stronger than they were because
yes.
they need to be. And so I love being able to address these things because, yeah, we're going to hit on these hard things and, like, hit these hard topics. And it's such a rewarding thing to be able to see someone who went through so much pain, who went through so much stuff, to see them come out stronger in the end.
In counseling and therapy, I view sometimes kids in adolescence as like that wild stallion.
Yep.
I don't know about you, but I've had some kids and so I've had some teenagers show up and they didn't want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
They were just there because mom and dad dropped them off and were forcing them to come. And they made that very loud and clear by whether they were choosing to be a little defiant, they weren't going to speak to me type of thing. Mm-hmm. I've had kids. I had one kid, my first ever client, Chris, literally showed up, cussed me out, spit on the ground right in front of me. And I was like, wow, what have I gotten myself into type of thing? But over time, right, it's just like that horse. Over time, as I set those boundaries in play,
mm-hmm.
eventually there was that level of just providing him safety in a non-judgmental atmosphere where he could come and really open up. And it became a very like meaningful relationship, I hope and pray for him, but it was mm-hmm. for me too. And I'm just thinking about your work with kids. How do you get a kid and a teenager who's just been hurt? Maybe the wounds of the mm-hmm. church hurt, right? The big C, big body of Christ involved mom and dad, involved parental attachment figures, involved a sibling within a family dynamic where things have been off. How do you get a kid like that to really begin to break down those barriers and those walls to trust you as somebody who's trying to speak into his life?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's slow. It's very slow. Like any hurt, it's not going to heal quick. And a lot of times, something Rachel and I talk about, or we mentioned a lot, is the idea of like reminding ourselves we can't control how quickly somebody heals. And sometimes, like, I think of it in this idea, it's like, I can't force them. I can't force them to be there.
Yeah.
One, like, I have to be very aware of that. And so that's where whenever I meet with a kid or a teen, I always kind of say in my head, it's like, my goal for session number one is just to get them to say they're at least okay with the idea of coming back for session number two.
That's right.
If I focus on what are we doing 8 sessions from now, I'm going to miss the moment, right? And I have to be willing to go at their pace. I have to be willing to figure out, okay, where are they at, right? Like I have to be willing to come down to their level and see, like, what are their needs? What are they missing? What are they not getting from, again, is it their parents? Is it the church? Is it friends? Is it teachers? Whatever it might be, like, what are they not getting? And how can we provide that? How can we do that? And so often, they just want to be heard. And they're told so much of, like, what to do. Like you said, it's just a lot of, well, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. And they're like, well, why? And it's like, well, I don't know. Or it's, again, in our areas, you get a lot of the, well, it's because the Bible says not to. Or it would make God angry. And it's like, so then, like you said, that kind of changes my perspective of God as this. Yes. Like, I'm working with, I have a middle school girl right now I'm working with who, she has such high anxiety on just a daily basis and such a low view of herself because she just has this mindset that everyone and everything, even somewhat faith-related, is out to get her and just look for how she's going to screw up, how she's going to mess up, what's she going to do wrong so we can say we got her. And it's amazing where it's just like you see where things happen. It's like, it's kind of this like moment where all of a sudden it's like, well, what do we do? Or how do she's like, how do I handle this? And there's a moment the other day where it's like something happened and she's like, okay, so like, what's my punishment? And her school looked at her and said, nothing. I just wanted to talk. And then she just didn't know how to handle that. She's like, what do you mean there's no punishment? What do you mean you just wanted to talk? What do you mean? Like, it's this idea of like, I don't deserve to be cared about. So when you see someone like this, and it's like, yeah, like, they view God as this bully with this magnifying glass, just looking to like fry the little ants on the earth, just saying, oh, you stepped out. I got you. Just continue to say like, yeah, I look at Jesus and it's like, he went to them. He didn't say, oh, well, go do this stuff and then you're better. Or like go do these things and then I'll help you. And then he took care of what was next. And so working with kids, working with the families, it's just seeing like, yeah, what is going on? I can think of situations where something happened within the church to somebody in a family and affected the whole family. They're all sitting going like, well, what do we do with this? I think in situations where it's just kids just don't feel heard by parents. And they're sitting there going like, I remember I had a girl one time, came in, she's 16 years old. Mom wanted to meet with me first. And I was like, oh yeah, so what's going on? She's like, oh, you just need to fix her. And she starts going off on just all this stuff that she's doing wrong, all these horrible things, whatever. And I was like, oh, okay. I meet with the girl after and I was like, yeah, so what's going on? What do we need to do? And she's like, I don't know, I guess you just need to fix me. And the mom looked at me like when she went out, when the mom left for the girl to come in, she's just like, good luck. And it's just one of those things where I couldn't get her to really talk much. But all I did was eventually she did start talking, and I just let her talk. I just let her. And also she realized, like, oh, wait, like, you're not just going to correct me on everything. You're not just going to yell at me and tell me why my opinion doesn't matter and that I shouldn't feel this way. And it's like, no, because your opinions do matter. Your feelings do matter. Yeah. Your experiences do matter.
Right.
And it's like I feel like so much of it is just giving permissions. You're allowed to feel this way. You're allowed to be upset. And then from there, what do we do with it, right? And so it's being willing to get down to their level, see what are their needs, and listen to what they need and not just being one more person telling them what they need to do or I'm not going to tell them what they need. I'm going to let them tell me.
Exactly. Giving them the space. I remember years ago I had this one client that, you know, he would show up to sessions and it was virtual through telehealth and whatnot. And I honestly felt like he just he was so disinterested, like didn't even want to be there. And the conversations felt very forced and it was just like, I didn't feel like there was any progress happening. And then eventually got to the point where there was the termination of just like sessions because from a family background, like they weren't able to do it anymore and whatnot. Just kind of, it came to a culminating moment and this was the final session. And I hopped online and just expected it to go as normal. And I open up my computer screen, right, to this kid on the other side, like, crying. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking to myself, what in the world? Like, and I asked, like, why are you crying? You know what I mean? And there was this verbiage that came out of it I never heard before, like this genuine interest and care. And he said, Zach, you know, I felt like you probably would have never picked up on it, but like this was one of my favorite things that I looked forward to every single week. Mm-hmm. And he said, and the reason why was because every week I wondered when you were going to stop showing up, but you never did. And that like spoke to me in that moment where it was like, man, that's the opportunity we have to show up for these kids. My friend, as we wrap up, I'm just thinking about somebody that is out there listening today that has been hurt, that has been severely wounded, that feels maybe like damaged goods, mm-hmm. that they don't know if there's a hope and a future out there for them. And they're just frustrated with life. They're frustrated with God. They're frustrated with family and friends. They feel like they're just journeying by themselves. What's a final word of hope, encouragement, and motivation that you'd offer that person today?
I would encourage them to remind them that they are never alone. It feels like it, but we aren't alone. There's someone out there who can relate to us in some way. I think of, in 1 Peter, where it often talks about, it's like, life's going to be hard, right? And it says, like, after you've suffered a little while. But it talks about how, like, the God of all grace will personally heal you, restore you, confirm you, and strengthen you, right? But we can also find peace in knowing that we have brothers and sisters all over the world who are going through the same things that we are. And I think that is one of the things where I encourage them, like, get help, talk to somebody, because there's someone out there who wants to listen to you. There's someone out there who wants to show you that they do care about you genuinely. And I think that's one of the best gifts that we can ever give somebody is to give them a place where they feel heard, where they feel seen, they feel validated, and knowing that I'm not crazy for feeling the way I do, and that it's okay to be hurt, but also to get the hope that I don't have to stay hurt.
That's right.
I can get stronger through this.
That's right. It's okay to not be okay, mm-hmm. but help, hope, and healing are always possible. Chris Allison, my friend, again, so grateful for you, your wealth of wisdom and knowledge and experience that you're bringing to the clinical setting. One final follow-up question. Where can our audience go to find out more about you and also everything that God's doing through Springhaven?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can learn more about Springhaven on our website, just www.springhaven.us. You can see information about me as well as all of our other practitioners that we have there. I love what we get to do. We see we're in the middle of we're in the heart of Amish country, Ohio, in the Dundee, Mount Eaton area. We see anyone who comes in. You don't have to be Amish to come to us. We just are somewhere where a lot of Amish do come to. With it, we offer personally. We offer a lot of individual standard outpatient. We do a lot of group. We do family. We do equine assisted. We have intensive outpatients. That for the intensive outpatient, specifically for Dutch-speaking individuals, but it's a lot of wonderful opportunities, and so you can learn a lot more about us through there.
Make sure, and I would encourage all of our audience and listeners to make sure that they find out more. Again, you said that was springhaven.com?
.us. www.springhaven.us.
Perfect. I would encourage all of our audience and listeners, go check that out, especially if you're in that Ohio area, if you're seeking help and care, make sure that you find it. Chris, my friend, again, thank you for just your obedient yes to the Lord and what you're continuing to walk out on a daily basis. Thanks for the care that you provide countless people, and thanks for being a great brother to my brother-in-law. Love you and appreciate you, my friend.
Hey, it's been a pleasure again. Thank you so much for having me here. I could do this all day.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
This is Dr. Shawnee Anderson, and I'm a licensed clinical psychologist who's been in practice for over 30 years. In my clinical experience, one of the hardest parts for someone struggling with their mental health is the very first step, the just reaching out for help part. I understand that asking for help is hard, but finding that help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, the mission is to make it easier to find a Christian clinician or coach who is compatible with you, someone you feel comfortable with, who shares your faith and values. Whether you're walking through grief, battling anxiety or depression, or facing any other of life's challenges, excellent mental health care providers are here to come alongside you with support that is both clinically excellent and distinctly Christian. If you or someone you know is looking for help and healing, we invite you to take that next step today. Go to ChristianCareConnect.com to find a provider within 100 miles of you. For further support or questions, you can email us at contact@ChristianCareConnect.com. A new way to start your journey to wellness and peace of mind.